are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Frank Gaffney, former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. He's now president of the Center for Security Policy, and he's the principal author of the book War Footing. In addition, Frank is a weekly columnist with the Washington Times, and his piece this week is entitled Submission, as he examines what appears to be the strategy of the new Obama administration in reaching out to the Muslim world. And Frank, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
You touch on a number of different issues here, and we hope to get to all of them by the time we're done in this discussion. But you talk, first of all, about what Obama specifically said at the inauguration and in his first post-inaugural interview, which was with Al Arabiya. What comments during those two appearances trouble you?
A message that was unmistakable in both the inaugural address and in the interview that he did, his first broadcast interview with, it happens, a Saudi-owned network, principally communicating with many folks in the Middle East and elsewhere in the Muslim world, was the president's determination to convey a sense of respect to the Muslim world on behalf of his administration and the United States. In so doing, he made several extraordinary statements. One suggesting that somehow the United States had been disrespecting the Muslim world for the past 20 or 30 years, which is, I think, patently untrue. As Charles Krauthammer, the syndicated columnist, noted in a wonderful essay he did Friday of last week, we've gone to war five times on behalf of Muslim people who were being brutalized or murdered or otherwise harmed by their own rulers or somebody else. He suggested that there was some sort of halcyon day that preceded that period of so-called disrespect, when in fact, as Charles, among others, have pointed out, what mostly was going on during that previous period was the United States was coddling and otherwise associating with some of the people who were repressing Muslims around the world, their own rulers, specifically authoritarian, totalitarian, repressive regimes. He went on to suggest that the United States was a nation in the inaugural address of Christians, Muslims, and Jews, which is an interesting rendering, as that's not sort of a demographic ordering. There are certainly more Jews than there are Muslims in the United States. He then proceeded in the Al Arabiya interview to say it's a nation of Muslims, Christians, and Jews, which is even more extraordinary. Now, obviously, much of this has to do with a deliberate messaging on the part of the president. I would argue, Greg, as does some of the executive ordering he's been doing lately. But I worry that the message is not going to be received by the target audience, specifically Muslims who adhere to what they call Sharia, which is a very problematic theopolitical legal code that calls for the destruction of the West and the triumph of Islam through a global theocracy. Those people are not going to regard it as respect, I'm afraid. I think they will perceive it as submission, and that can be very dangerous.
We're talking with Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy. And Frank, later on in your opinion piece, you talk about a couple of signs which trouble you about how the new president intends to engage some of these radical regimes. First of all, dispatching former Clinton Defense Secretary William Perry over to Iran. What have we learned about that endeavor?
Well, unfortunately, there have only been press reports on this, but apparently a senior advisor to his campaign, and as you say, the defense secretary under Bill Clinton's administration, Bill Perry, met presumably on behalf of the Obama administration, or I should say campaign at that time, an important distinction, with a senior representative of this genocidal thug, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran, the president of Iran, by some accounts as many as five times during the period before Mr. Obama was elected president of the United States. An interesting play, reminiscent, of course, of the old claim that Ronald Reagan was engaged in an October surprise with Iran. Not true in that case, but it seems as though there was something really going on here. And secondly, that the president-elect, after he was voted in by the American people, made much of the fact that we only have one president at a time. This kind of back-channel diplomacy by what amounted to a private citizen with grave implications for American foreign policy, I think was evidence that he was not practicing that sensible policy during the period running up to the election. And again, I'm worrying that that has been perceived by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his ilk as a sign of weakness and something that can be exploited.
You also talk in your piece, Frank, about a key figure hired by the new president's chief envoy to Afghanistan and Pakistan, Richard Holbrooke, as well as a new person hired on the National Security Council. But in our remaining 90 seconds here, I want to get your thoughts on another part of this piece, which I think is raising the most eyebrows, and that's Obama's back-channel communication allegedly with al-Qaeda.
Yeah, we have a report that wonderful national security investigative reporter by the name of Bill Gertz, the Washington Times, wrote up in a newsletter in which he quotes diplomatic sources, unnamed, as telling him that much as Mr. Obama had people, it seems, talking privately, quietly, sub rosa, to the Iranians, he was also reaching out to people who would be in touch with al-Qaeda. And it said that the purpose was to signal a willingness if there could be a kind of hudna, as they call it in the Middle East, in Arabic, a sort of lull in the fighting in which al-Qaeda would kind of leave us alone, we would disengage from Afghanistan. So we would not only be leaving Iraq, irrespective of the conditions on the ground there, we would be leaving Iran with their nuclear weapons program and ballistic missile program intact. We would also apparently be abandoning Afghanistan. These are all signs, I would suggest, of not only submission, but potentially of something worse. You might spell it D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R, disaster.
Frank, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Greg.
Frank Affney, president of the Center for Security Policy, former Assistant Secretary of Defense. The book is War Footing. This is Dateline Washington.